I want to assimilate those people that I couldn't assimilate them in 70 years, I want to assimilate them in 10 years. So you are in the front line. After this, no mercy. Like, remove them from the root.
So tell me about these concentration camps.
So you cannot be Muslim, because being Muslim is being terrorism. If you are living in Urumqi, the shortest period is 1 year. Because you are a good Muslim, they want to bring your faith.
You know that there are lots of people that question whether this really exists.
Some people will die non-Muslim.
The plight of the Uyghur Muslims in East Turkestan has been described as a genocide. An entire ethnic, cultural and religious group is being erased. We hear stories of mass detention, the banning of Ramadan, the closure and demolition of mosques. We also hear the disturbing reports of women being forced into marriage, forced sterilization, and children being removed from families and reassigned to Chinese couples. At the same time, people question these accounts. There is a lot of disinformation on social media and diplomatic circles, and many, even some government-paid Islamic scholars, have questioned the extent of the persecution, if not the persecution itself, especially since the Biden administration has adopted it as a cause, as part of their fight against an emerging geopolitical rival. So how do we know what to believe? Today, I am joined by Abdulrashid Amin. He's the Secretary General of the International Union of East Turkestan Organization, one of the largest Uyghur organizations in Turkey. Brother Abdulrashid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to the Thinking Muslim.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to have you with us, brother. Now, maybe a good place to start is really just tell me about your life as a Uyghur in East Turkestan. I think you were born in East Turkestan and you came to Istanbul maybe 6-7 years ago. Now, what was your experience during this period when you were born up to when you left East Turkestan?
So this life is not normal. So I cannot be the one I want to be and with this China. So because China don't want me to be a Muslim, a Uyghur, or someone like very free, because there's a lot of remindings and it is unusual and abnormal. So this thing accompanied me until I leave, even I left East Turkestan. So you can imagine that I am in the school, for example. I started at when I am six. I went to school, and the first class is about atheism. So there's no God, but they start from very interesting part. The children, we afraid of the jinn, right, the ghost. So they said, okay, do you believe the jinn will kill you or eat you? We said, okay, yes. Okay, they said, don't afraid, because there is no jinn. Do you know why there is no jinn? Because there is no Allah, no God. So no God means there is no jinn. Did you see the jinn? No. And then no jinn. So this kind of interesting part that, okay, we would like to rather to choose there is no jinn in the nights, and then we can sleep very good, comfortable. But after that, we should also reject the existence of the God. So this kind of like teaching started. And then there is the Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong is the founder of the modern China. And they said, okay, this man, and he is a very, very great man. And he, like, he's the one who will lead you, even he already passed away.
Like a prophet.
Yeah, something that you should really, really respect. So even his picture, you should respect. In each classroom has his picture. At the same time, like, you cannot just draw on his picture or say something bad about him. So like him, like, there is someone who rescued us from a lot of dangers. Actually, he occupied us, but I should like admire him as one of our rescuer, a saver. And then I rejected God, and then I rejected my prophet, and then I will have my new leader, and I can obey and pray and worship him. So this kind of thing started from when I am six. So alhamdulillah, after I return home, or like, or as a normal Muslim, I know that, okay, those things not normal. Or after some time, is okay, I can realize that someone will tell me that, okay, this is the lies. And then, okay, I can identify that all of them like made up things. And then I start to learn. the Arabic language. I start to learn the Islam more, like from the really academic way, by myself and trying to read books, or I reached some people to teach me.
And at that time, this was all available.
All illegal.
It's illegal.
Illegal. Like, wow. I'm talking about the underground thing. It's like, so because you know that the Muslims, the there is a really big difference between Muslims and non-Muslim. I'm not like saying that the non-Muslims are abnormal or something. Because in the Muslim community, even you are oppressed or someone don't allow you to do something, but you will do it if you want to do it. Because the prophets you follow, or the prophets you follow, or the seerah, or the history or stories you learned from the Quran, everything told you that if something you should do as a Muslim, you should do it.
Abdul-Rashid, I'm trying to understand. So you have this propaganda from school. Was the curtailment of Islam, the banning of learning Islam, did that happen at the very beginning of your period? So throughout your life, you learned Islam through underground scholars.
Yeah, underground scholars. For example, the mosques, okay, according to the Chinese law, constitution, a child or a man should not have any religion until he is 18. So, it is illegal for me to be Muslim, actually, to pray. And it is illegal for my parents to teach me to Islam. And so at the same time, the China at that time already limited the Islam inside the mosque. So you can pray, but you should be above 18. And you can...
a young person would not be allowed to...
No, don't miss the mosque. So, like, not every time there will be someone, but each Juma, Friday prayers, and there will be someone from the police station. They will, like, stop in front of the mosque. They will see if any child will go. So we will just go to the roof of the neighbor of the mosque, and then we just, like, jump into the mosque and then pray. And after that, the same message to go out. So... this kind of thing, actually. So being Muslim, actually, it is illegal for me until 18.
And what would happen to your parents or to any parent if their child was found to be learning in a underground madrasa or going to the mosque?
Yeah, the first one is arresting, and the second one is there will be like the penalties, like financially.
Fines,
But sometimes there will be like sentencement for the parents or for the...
So you knew of people who went to prison for this?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
That like there's the mostly the there is actually the priests are really different than one than others. For example, in the time of before the Xi Jinping, the previous administration, they really focusing on action. If there is any action happen, it is against the law, they will punish you really hard. But they don't punish you that much. They will they're trying to assimilate you very hardly, but at the same time, they don't punish you for your thinking or for your ideology that much. So that's why before Xi Jinping, there's a lot of like democratic movement even inside China. But after the Xi Jinping, the difference is like he punish you the possibility of thinking something against the Chinese ideology.
So Xi Jinping becomes premier in 2012.
2013, yes. 2013. And before him, yeah. I mean that before him, the teaching the children or teaching anyone else the Islam in madrasas is illegal, and it is something action which is like really will be punished very harshly. So I know a lot of Muslim scholars, and they had been sentenced for 5 years, 10 years, because they taught the children the for example, like Arabic grammar book or hadith or Quran, but the China frame it like illegal. They call it illegal madrasa, or sometimes they frame it terrorism directly because you are organizing something. So organization in Uzbekistan is like something that China really afraid of. So you are organizing someone or some group to come and like a very scheduledly. So then China very afraid of that, so China like repunishing very hard.
So everything changed after 2013. Of course, before 2013, it was pretty harsh. But after 2013, you say that not only your actions were now prescribed, but also your thinking, the way you thought. Explain that to me, please.
Actually, I'm talking about my experiences as a normal like individual, Abdul Rashid, who lived in Uzbekistan, born in 90s, lived in 2000 until from 2000 to 2016, until I leave leave to Turkey. So during this time, as individual, what I witnessed is my childhood, everyone is very cautious and very careful about their life. And then there's 10 years that until 2009, 9 years that there is some better situation, but still the assimilation is happening. And China, because something happened in 90s, China very cautious that they by withdrawing a lot of rights, political rights of Uyghurs, and they arresting a lot of people, and even they manipulating the media, the news. And then they don't want us to know a lot of things, and they banning Facebook, Instagram, this kind of international media. Yep. Day by day. And 2009, what happens? There's Urumqi massacre happened in the 5th July. This Urumqi massacre was a turning point, one of the nexus event for the Uyghurs, which is after that, our relationship with the government or the government's relationship with any kind of Uyghur remain as normal or as optimistic.
How so?
Because in 5th of July, before the 5th of July, there is, the oppression is happening, but it is partially. So the China will oppress me in Hoten, but he will respect some Uyghurs in Urumqi, or he will respect some Uyghurs in some other cities. But after that, the China didn't respect and any Uyghur after that. Or even you are traveling inside China and the Chinese people are not disrespecting you or attacking you in the street because they frame you are the terrorist or potential terrorist because you are Uyghur. And after 2009, can you imagine that while we are traveling inside China in the airport, if the Chinese policeman see your ID card, it is written that which place you are coming. I'm coming from Uzbekistan, they call Xinjiang. And then from me until 10%, they will ask everyone to take off their shoes. Before me, no. After 10%, no. Actually, I have very special treatment. So after 2009, China framing each Uyghur has a potentiality to be against China or threatening Chinese authority. And after 2009, we witnessed that the China day by day preparing something that we are not gaining while we are living more and more time with China. Actually, we are losing more and more. We are losing when it comes to our rights, when it comes to our finance, when it comes to our the wills, natural wills, and when it comes to our religious freedom. Everything we are losing. And at the same time, it was economic depression globally, and China also impacting, influenced by that. That's why the Chinese authority very busy with its own economic problem. And then the Xi Jinping came. The first thing.
Yeah. So tell me about Xi Jinping's era.
So Xi Jinping's era was the Xi Jinping started. Or stated that what he want to do is really clearly after he came to the position, and he has a statement that I never will statements I never forgot. One is what he made after he came to position. He did a travel around the world. He traveled to the European countries, the Korea, Japan, and everywhere. He said, "We were the dragon who was sleeping. Now we are awake. So don't afraid us, but we will also be strong." And then he started the Chinese Dream, which is the New Silk Road. And then he made two statements about Uyghurs. One is when he was new to the position, he said, after more than like around 70 years of administration, he said administration, I will say this is occupation, we didn't manage to Sinicize Turkestan. The people not feeling they are China. Even someone who visits Turkestan at the time, they will not feel it is China. And then the problem is the Chinese culture or Chinese identity or being Chinese becomes something not be accepted or legitimized in Turkestan. So like Chinese culture is something that we always trying to be very far away because it is non-Islamic. And the second thing is what he like drugged the attention is about the marriage rate. The marriage between Uyghur and Chinese, it is 0.001, which is like the Uyghurs for the 70 years we rejected to marry Uyghur, the Chinese people. Even there's a very communist Uyghur people or communist, like very non-Islamic, very anti-Islam Muslim, anti-Islam Uyghurs, they also rejecting to marry Chinese. And he said he framed that actually this is thing they're showing that East Turkestan actually resisting to be China, so that's why he mentioned it that. And then after him, because he was very new to the position, he did a domestic renovation of the system, and like he arrested a lot of the previous former governors of all the cities, all the regions, including East Turkestan. And then after he renewed it and like really guaranteed his position, in 2014, like after 1 year, he came again. He said he actually did this statement in front of his army. He gathered all army generals who are staying in East Turkestan, residing in East Turkestan. That, okay, now you are in the front line. So you are in the front line. After this, no mercy. Like, remove them from the route. Which means, okay, you are in East Turkestan, the place that you occupied for more than 70 years. And then you are not, like, in the war. There's no one, like, carrying gun against you. And then you are talking to your generals. Like, you are not talking about your, like, policeman. Or you are not talking about your like manage like the governors. Actually, you are talking about your army. You said no mercy after this. You will like remove them from the root. Okay, who are the like you want to remove? There's three type of person. Like one is the terrorists, radicals, and then the separatists. Okay, who is the terrorist? Okay, who is the separatist? Who is the radicals? Actually, anything that a Muslim have, you will fit one of them.
Really? If you pray, you are a radical.
Yeah, like
terrorist.
In 2014, before that statement, China published 75 signs of being terrorist. So if you have that sign, 75 signs, you potentially terrorist.
Right. Give me some examples
okay,
of a sign.
Okay, like having very good...
A beard. Yes.
And you visited Turkey, yeah, and you learned Turkish language, and you learned Arabic language. You visited Dubai. And you went to for Hajj, right? So you have anyone you know outside China, and you are praying, and you were smoking, but you abandoned to smoke after that. You are drinking, you are not drinking after that, and you don't have any Chinese friend. Your wife is like niqabi or hijabi. Your children, some of them, they are not they. Actually didn't continue their studies for the university, but they are like doing business. Why they are doing business, there is some problem. Okay, even they said, if you're stocking some meals, it means like, why you are stocking? So why you are stocking some like very general meals in your house, the problem. And if you have a lot of money, but you are not saving it in the bank, but you are saving your money and your finance inside your house. Okay, there's problem. Actually, anything that the China thinking it will be problem in the future from that person, and they said, okay, included everyone. Actually, while they included those person as terrorists, radicals, or separatists, actually they included us that the aim of China is they want to frame as much as Uyghurs inside this framework, because at that time still the global war on terrorism is in the trend and everyone were working on it.
So it justified.
Okay, yeah. The first of all, let like as much as Uyghur become a terrorist. Okay, I am potential terrorist, Abdurrashid, because I have birth and I visited. I know Turkish a lot of. I have a lot of problem. My father, my family, and every Uyghur. Okay, I potentially terrorist. And then what China do? Because he cannot kill me because I didn't do anything against the law or again, like to deserve the death. Okay, China said, I don't want to kill you, but I want to change you. But my like excuse to arrest you is about like this sinus you have, and then there is concentration camps. Okay.
So tell me about these concentration camps, because of course the Chinese government would say that these are re-education camps or for careers or for, you know, they're voluntary camps. So when did these camps arrive and what was the nature of these camps?
Okay, so after 2013, after that statement that the Xi Jinping really unhappy that the East Turkestan state, East Turkestan, not China, that means what fail it is, okay, they occupied us, but they couldn't assimilate us. So assimilation is like really failed. So what China want to do is Chinese dream, new Silk Road. For that reason, East Turkestan should belong to China forever, because that project is a grand strategy of China. It like really, really matters for China to exist. That's why the China should guarantee East Turkestan will be part of China. There will not any Uyghur want to be independent from China.
But why is the Silk Road so crucial in what they call Xinjiang in East Turkestan? What's the connection?
Because it is like relating to the geopolitical thing, which is the China is a manufacturing country. And there is a consuming region, which is Europe. And there is also another region on the way is like the Central Asia, Azerbaijan, Iran, and Turkey and Europe. All of them are consuming countries. So China has very big manufacturing capacity. So China want to sell its production on the way those people until the Europe. And this economic road will provide China.
And this goes through influence. East Turkestan.
Without East Turkestan, China cannot do it. Only the East Turkestan provide them gate, go to Pakistan and go to the Central East. At the same time, 40% of Chinese energy, the consuming that China consuming each day, is coming from outside.
I didn't know, really.
And those 40%, among those 40%, if you divide those 40 to 100 again, and the another 40 or 50% coming from MENA region and or Central Asia.
And it comes through.
Yes, the pipeline actually goes through from East Turkestan. And then those 100, which is like the daily consuming 100%, 40% outside, and they go through from East Turkestan, right? Another 30%. Of domestic production of energy coming from East Turkestan. So actually, we are feeding China. Without us, China will be like the poor and will not be China. So that dragon will dead. Like, will be dead, like starving. So what China granting is to make this happen. And also, not only making it happen, making it in the way that will not lose. Because the China already spent a lot of money now, right? And only that the project will rescue China or make China this kind of hegemony, replacing USA like the dragon coming to eat. So this kind of thing, what China can do is rapid assimilation process, which means I want to assimilate those people that I couldn't assimilate them in 70 years. I want to assimilate them in 10 years. So the China made up like the first the plan is, until 2025, China will assimilate all the Uyghurs as China. Okay, so in 2014, China started as a test. I know that in Khotan, a lot of my friends, so each small village, they have like very local administration. Those local administrations, they have police station. That police station will make the list of the Uyghurs in that region who are problematic. In the first place, they selected problematic because they have a history of being arrested. Problematic because they have some social issue like drug or thief or something. And they problematic because they are more Islamic, like more precious Muslim, practical Muslim. Those list and those people not arrested from the house. The China called them. They said, there's 3 months of the training program you should attend. It is compulsory, but you should go by yourself. And then I will go. For example, I didn't go, but my friend, he went. And then inside that, the training house or training center, it is actually transferred from not used government facilities at that time.
You can come and go from these centers?
No, you will go by yourself. Some of them will give you 1 day off a week. Some of them will not. And some of them really big in the prison format. And then some of them really will control it, which is China will arrest you from house directly and put you. So there's different type of like testing actually. Some of them like easy to go, yourself will go in 3 months. You will learn a lot of Chinese language, Chinese ideology, communist ideology. You will become non-Muslim, blah, blah, blah. And after that, you will come back after 3 months. And you said, okay, I already graduated. There's different type. It started in 2014. I really, really remember that. My friend, he went there. And then sometimes we can call him in the nighttime because he bribed the guard to get his the phone. And sometimes like in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, he can get 1 day off to visit his family. But like only a few hours and he will like return back. So, but it was 2014. But when it comes to the 2016, while I am living in Turkestan, it become really something serious. So after that, no phone call. They will arrest you from the house and it becomes something to threaten you or something that already written. Okay. In Urumqi, if you are living in Urumqi, the shortest period is 1 year, the in concentration camp. If you are living in some place, it's a 6 months, 3 months, 1 year, sometimes 2 years. And it like design it according to the situation of that city. And then after that, there's really like clear that you know that they will arrest you and to put you inside the concentration.
Everyone?
Everyone.
Really?
I know that my father, for example, in 2017, I know that my father and my brother, they went to concentration camps for 3 months also. Because they messaged me in the beginning of 2017. They said they are very good and fine. And after some days, they disappeared for 3 months. And after 3 months, they said, okay, we went to hospital and now we are very good situation. Okay, at that hospital, 3 months hospital.
So they use the word hospital as a cover.
As a cover. Yeah. And then this kind of situation actually, that it started 2014 and the aim is the assimilation. So what's your graduation like, the score, that like quality? You should be non-Muslim. You should be really communist. Yeah, explicit non-Muslim. Right. Because there is a camp survivor. Her name is Zumrat Daud. She said, they told me to be abandon Islam. I will not be Muslim. And then they told me that each day I should write one page like response paper. I can say like it is evaluation paper, or you said self-evaluation. I said, in this, each day, can you imagine? It should be different than the first day. The Mao Zedong is very good, and like communism is very good. I learned something like that, blah, 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 in Chinese language, but you are not speaking Chinese. You should learn Chinese and from the first day, and then you should write one page, the paper, and then you will hand over, something like that in 3 months or 1 year or half of years. You should finish that kind of process. And what you learn that what is a communism and how the Islam not helping the Uyghurs and how the terrorism is very bad and this kind of thing. There is Gülbahar, there is a Kalbinur. Kalbinur is also a witness of camp, concentration camp, but she is different. She was the teacher, right, the Chinese language teacher. She also
in the camp.
She said like she was always crying while she giving the witness. She said like, it's really hard for me that, because I know that every single of my students, they are arrested compulsory, like forcibly, and then they, some of them, everyone has their life, their children had been separated from them, and they are crying while I am teaching them the Chinese language. And I am actually not teaching on knowledge, actually. I'm like oppressing them. Can you imagine that a teacher, she said she was like very good, qualified, rewarded teacher who was teaching Chinese language in the Chinese school for like several years. She said in the first time I was ashamed that I am teaching. So like, but because I am oppressing them by teaching. So this kind of thing that like, and then concentration camp is it. But this is a normal process. And there is something that the China want to do, which is what thing that a Muslim community, they always resist because they have the dignity and they have courage and they have the patience. And that's why what China want to do is that focusing or targetedly beating oppressing or sometimes raping the woman, like drug testing, this kind of like oppressions. There's something extra actually. So you have mentally tortured, but at the same time you have physically tortured. The food, everything is very bad, and you have
so
like
you have pork and haram food.
And on after that, and like there is your every life is un-Islamic, and also your normal life and like the cage is I can say it's the cage. The room is very small, 20% living, and everyone suffering. No one like very good. You cannot how can I say like you cannot take any kind of good feeling or good helping mental helping from others because everyone's suffering. At the same time, because you are a woman, they will rape you. Because you are a good Muslim, they wanna break your dignity, break your faith, and they wanna do a lot of things to punish you and torture you. Because they are the Chinese police inside the concentration camps. Actually, they are. It is like their resting time joy to be happy by torturing you, by do something bad to you.
So Abdul Rashid, outside of the concentration camps, yeah. I've understood the concentration camps are not just re-education camps.
Yeah.
They're destroying you mentally and physically. At this time, so this is now during the Xi Jinping era, outside of the concentration camps, are you able to, if you're over 18, are you able to practice Islam?
No. Actually, in 2016, it was my last Friday, like prayer, the Juma prayer. In Uzbekistan, the last Juma prayer in Uzbekistan. I went to my mosque, the mosque in my village. At the time, the China not allow you to go the mosque of other village. So you should only have your religious mosque. If you go another religious mosque, they will ask, "Where are you?" Just go your own village. Okay, I went. They united four mosques, like the neighboring four villages. Each day, each Juma, and they broadcasting actually the speech of one imam. And I said, okay, because it is not khutbah, okay, like normal speech. But khutbah is, there's imam, okay, for each mosque. After I left, like 1 or 2 months, another person came out from my village. I asked him what's the situation. He said, after you left, after 2 months, they said the khutbah also will be broadcasting. And this imam broadcasting khutbah to the other three villages, actually. This one, another three villages. And then they said they're competing each other, actually. If anyone did good, and it will stay, he will stay and others will go. And then Okay, really strange and not unacceptable. Still, there is Islam, right? And after that, in 2017, the last wave of people, they said, we witnessed that they already closed all the mosques.
Right. Shut them down.
Shut them down.
Right.
But they allow the people above 60s with the card. Okay, Jalal, you are 60 years old, and they will give you a card. And that card is to open the gate of mosque. But only in the five prayer time, right? There's no Azan will go out. And then you only can go inside the mosque that nearby your house. It's like, and under 60, no, they cannot go. And after 1 year, what we witnessed is China shut down all the mosques. So only a few mosques, they left them for visitors from outside to see, okay, there is Islam still, blah, 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 but there is no one can go to the mosque because the Islam is totally banned. So you cannot be Muslim because being Muslim is being tourist. So they don't allow people to do funeral according to Islam. So after you're dead, do you know in Turkey what we do in actually around the world and diaspora? We do the janaza, like the janaza prayer for the people who died in a structure. Because
Subhanallah.
they cannot do the janaza prayer for them. That's why we do that. And no, like in all the life of Islam, they don't allow you. And starting from 2018, they started the surveillance system, which is they don't allow anyone to. It is started like from the big also again. So while I am in Uzbekistan, for traveling outside of Uzbekistan, I should have one card. It is papers that showing that I have allowance to permission to travel inside China for business. And after that, they did this for inside domestic traveling. Okay, I'm living in Khotan, but I want to go to Urumqi. I should have permission. They call it green card. I should have green card. And after that, they made it between the regions. I am, for example, Khotan has like around seven regions. From this region to another region, I should have green card. But I cannot move. For example, Urumqi is like mega city of Uzbekistan. So everyone want to live there, like Istanbul. We are no one origin from Urumqi, but they are coming from others. After 2016, China requested for everyone to go back home. So after that, no chefs, because they are coming from other city, they went. A lot of restaurant corrupted because no, they cannot like let anyone to work. And then they said, after this, you cannot move out from your city. If you are from Khotan, you should live inside Khotan because they want to control you. So, like they wanna
Monitor you,
monitor you,
yeah.
and should live in a house that you born, a village that you originally came, and then you are like returning, and after that, okay, after this you cannot go out,
You can't go abroad at this
and
point.
then they limited the limitation like more in the way that it is also in 2017 and in the end of 2000, like in the beginning of 2018, is that okay? I have my family, my parents' house, and I born there, but I moved out because I already got married and I have children. So I am another village, and then I want to visit my parents' house. I should get permission to go out from my village. My parents will get permission to host me in their house, and then I can like go in from the checking point. So there is checking points in the out of each street. I can go out because I have permission to go out.
These are
I can go
physical
in, yeah.
officers, police officers on the
Yes, police
street.
officers,
Right.
checkpoints, like they will stop me and they will search me, and then I can go out, but at the same time I should show that I have the permission to go out because I'm going there. And then my parents will wait in the gate, showing them, okay, this is my son. He want to visit me. So this is visiting permission. So actually they are limited us like inside very small circle. And after that, what they did is, okay, it is like Islam, one step, they banned all the mosques, right? And after that, they destroyed the mosques, demolished, and after that, changed a lot of mosques into a bar and cafeteria. There's no imam. Even if you want to be Muslim, there's no imam to teach you or no one to, like, encourage you to talk to you about Islam. And after that, you are limited inside your house. Okay, who will be your friend to talk, or who will be your relatives to discuss? Because the people are the social people, right? So China said, okay, you have the relatives, which is Chinese relatives. China said, after this, for the assimilation process, each Uyghur should have one Chinese relative.
So they assigned a Han Chinese person to a Uyghur person.
No, like I'm Uyghur. I have another Chinese coming from inside China just yesterday, and it will be my uncle.
Wow.
Okay, he will live in my house for 1 week.
He lives in your house, yeah.
And I go his house to eat pork with him like for 1 week. And this kind of like actually oppression, the China doing that. Okay, why? What? It is monitoring you inside your house. And also changing the way that you live. They're normalizing a lot of abnormals for your life. They're normalizing a man that who eat pork and work, like live with you, someone who drink alcohol, someone who are non-Muslim, and you are a woman, your husband arrested, but another Chinese uncle inside your house, and it is like very against the mahram, the life of style that you have as a Muslim. It will be broken and normalized again and again. And this is something that China want to do. And no Islam. After that, when it comes to the next generation, it will start from it is compulsory for us to send our children to the kindergarten. So in the kindergarten, the teachers, the Chinese teachers, only teach our children the Chinese language, Chinese culture. And while you are withdrawing all the ideology or religious that fill the gap of the people with like the ethic and the life of the principles, right? There's no principles, no ethics left. And then China brought the Confucius principles or Confucius ideology to fill that gap.
So can I ask Abdul-Rashid, at this point, you're not allowed to leave your area. You're not allowed to leave East Turkestan. So they can't escape now from the clutches of China.
No.
Really?
Because in the beginning of 2017, China said there is a technical issue of all the passports, so they seized all the passports.
Really?
They said, we will give you back after we solve that technical issue, and they did never
they
give.
They never gave back.
And as I told you that, now it is also very hard to imagine someone to travel outside of my city, even not like outside of Turkestan.
Because the Chinese government would say that Uyghur culture is flourishing in this region of East Turkestan, Xinjiang, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And there is and they would sometimes use, you know, even Western diplomats will be received by Uyghur ceremonies and cultural ceremonies. They will return back and say that there is a cultural, these people are living their culture.
Okay, first of all, it is a very foolish question. I question as my Pakistani classmate that, or some Indian brandis. Are you like dancing in the street like the Bollywood movie? He said, no, we are not fools. Actually, the Uyghurs are not the fools that if someone visits you and then you like dancing in the street. We are not dancing in the street.
So it's a fake culture
yes,
that they've brought.
Like we are not dancing in the street. Even like the cultural clothes, yes, we are like wearing our cultural clothes, but we are not like someone that really, really... I identically wearing the cultural clothes in the street, and there is someone coming from outside, and we identify that, okay, hi, the Western guy, I am dancing in front of you like that. We are not that kind of like, actually it is made up by China. And do you know what the mean of Xinjiang? Xinjiang is like new colony. Like Jiang is colonial, the territory, and Xin is new.
Yeah.
So this new colony, the China occupied it, colonized it, and assimilated it, and it failed to assimilate it, but still colonizing. But he want to justify it. Okay, colonizing do is, we know is really, really good. Actually, sometimes it's really easy to explain it with the British colonization, right? Do you think the Middle Eastern countries or India, even they really, really happy with that British colonization? But if you ask the British colonizers, they said, okay, we brought them democracy, we brought them the system, we brought them a lot of things, the military, blah, blah, right? Okay, if you arrest my father, my parents, my relatives, you killed a lot of people in front of me, you massacred a lot of people, and then you come to my village, you rebuilt some walls very good and very like beautiful way, and then you said, I'm giving you money, okay, you maybe you give me money, and then you said, yeah, Abdurrashid, okay, and I think after this you will wear more bright clothes, or if you want to dance and just learn the dancing because there is someone who will come, you will dance and be happy, and then they will funding me. But like, this is not actually the flourishing. Actually, it is like something that they are made up us to be their the actors to help them, to support them, to justify this colonization, actually.
So can I ask you, I mean, you, in this conversation, you've used the word occupation. You've said that they're colonizing us. Uyghurs refuse to use the term, the Xinjiang, which is, of course, the term that the Chinese give to this region. You use the term East Turkestan. So you strongly believe that, like Israel has occupied Palestine, there is a parallel there, that these are occupation forces and they're trying now to, you know, maybe the Israelis are doing it in a different way, but they're trying to solidify their occupation in this region.
Palestine and Israel. This issue started in 1948, right? The occupation. East Turkestan occupied in 1949, only 1 year, after 1 year. This is the first thing. Second thing is, the China completed occupation very fastly and started the colonization and assimilation. The Israel, the only one differences between Israel and China on this issue is Israel occupied, and then sometimes the occupation not completed, sometimes more occupation, sometimes less occupation. But still, there is the occupation is in the process. Actually, the Israel didn't complete the occupation, but occupied, right? Occupied. The China also occupied. This is actually the similar, but in the process, actually, the China completed the occupation. They assassinated our the government governors that we selected actually in the first place. They dissolved our national army, and then they integrated the whole the East Turkestan administration into Chinese Central Administration. They changed its name, and then they changed the demography. In 1945 or 49, the Chinese population was under 10%, even around like 5 or 6 or 7.
In your region, in East
Turkestan. My region. Yeah. You know, now it is like more than 40 or even 50%. The China like changing, it is
the demographic settlement change. Yeah,
actually, each word the Muslim world they using for the Palestine, or each word we use in the history for the colonized territories like Jazair, like Algeria or the Morocco, or like other countries, the Muslim territory. It's a similar word we can use, like settlement, colonization, assimilation, the occupation, and there is like proxy government, this kind of thing, actually.
Now, there are many Muslim countries, if not all Muslim countries, I mean, the vast majority of Muslim countries who back China up in this occupation and in this horrific activity or repression in East Turkestan. I mean, a few years ago, there was the Human Rights Committee resolution at the United Nations, where the vast majority of the Muslim countries, Saudi Arabia, UAE, they supported China against this resolution, which came from one or two of the European countries. Why? Why are the Muslim countries not coming to your defense?
Actually, it is something that more political, something that we should analyze is more from the political perspective, which is, first of all, I would like to give very historical information very fastly, which is before 2000, East Turkestan causes was the cause of Muslim world. it is supported by the Saudi Arabia, by Pakistan, by other Muslim countries, actually, in Turkey, in Malaysia, in Egypt. And our Uyghur senior activists at that time, or leaders, they are funding members of YC. They are funding members of Arab League, actually. Rabitatul Alam al-Islami. So all things, actually, the Uyghurs, they have very good influence.
So what changed?
China providing you technology without any condition. And because what the China want to guarantee from the Middle East is the energy. Because without the Middle East, China will die. So that's why the China promising and giving and providing without the condition. And then you can see that Oman, BIA, and then the Emirate, and then the Qatar, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, even the Syria before the war, even after the war, and the Iraq, those countries in the African region, Egypt, those countries, the Morocco, Algeria, the big shopping malls, the streets, the roads, the country, like a lot of the urban system,
the construction
made by China, infrastructures made by China, for very cheap manner, and the credit is like the China giving you very cheap credit. This kind of opportunity actually made China very welcome it partner without any political aim, while you are say damaging your country. How damaging? In Arab Spring, the USA stand with the people against the governors. After the Arab Spring, they stand with the governors against the people. And this kind of thing, the USA actually gaining something, but at the same time, it losing it is the friendship or the relationship with the Middle Eastern countries, and the China just like a lick it in. That's why those countries now voting or backing China, not backing actually the Islam ban or like the genocide, but actually it is worse than that. They are backing China only because of that economic interest or national interest. It is worse because they want to ignore totally.
Abdul Rashid, I you know that there are lots of people that question whether this really exists and whether Muslims are being persecuted in East Turkestan. I mean, your testimony is very powerful today, but there are people still who would say this is all American. The Americans are using it as one of the sticks to beat a rival superpower. Mm-hmm. China is rising, and it's rising extremely fast, and the Americans want to undermine China. And in that process, they're using this issue of the Uyghurs.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that argument?
In the first of all, this argument, as I told you, that not only this question didn't came to me not only as Uyghur, actually this question also questioned by a lot of the Islamic movement or the movements or the other oppressed Muslims sometimes. Mm-hmm. Why specifically this region supporting you but not other regions? For example, the West supported the resisting movement in Syria against the Bashar Assad, and a lot of some Muslims actually questioned, okay, you are actually proxy of USA or the West. If Turkey support, okay, you are proxy of Turkey, or you proxy of Qatar or other country. This is the problem is, actually there is the problem is true. Okay, I oppressed it. I'm oppressed. I'm occupied. I'm my family being assimilated and the tortured. And I have, as a Muslim or as a human being, I have rights to ask for my rights and establish my country and reject oppression, right? This is something that fundamental thing we can agree with anyone.
Yes.
And I can prove that as like a political activist to give my like personal testimony. I can provide to you a political analysis why China doing. I can provide to you the report is not only made by Western countries. Actually, it is a lot of independent reports released by Malaysia, released by the Turkey, Turkish authority, and even in 2018, Çavuşoğlu, the former foreign ministry of Turkey, he said, "I know that there is a real oppression towards the Uyghurs. We cannot be silent against it." Even the China frames that Uyghurs are not Turkic, and the China framing the Uyghurs are the Chinese. And the Çavuşoğlu says they speak Turkish language better than us. We didn't taught them the Turkish language. Actually, they're the one who created the Turkish language. So actually, it is not only the documented by the West. But what happened, what is the relationship between my cause and the West is, the while China raising, and the while China raising globally or raising in the Asian region, Middle Eastern region, Central Asia, or Europe even, economically, politically, militarily, and other perspective, actually it is threatening the interest of those some countries like India, like Japan, or like directly USA sometimes. And this kind of the conflict of interest between China and the West, or allies of the West, or when we analyze this is from the perspective of international relations theory, is from the realistic perspective, if a country trying to change the status quo order, it will be a revisionist state, and there will be status quo state to will be resist, and there will be like a conflict happen. So this is actually, we are in this period. China, the USA dropping, in declining in a lot of the region, and China raising and trying to fill those gaps and to sneak in. And this is conflict is also the real. I cannot say like China and the USA, they don't have the conflict. They have the conflict. I have one problem. And that problem is, in the way is that it is geopolitical problem, which is actually China doing those oppressions and genocide because it want to guarantee the grand strategy that it following to guarantee its existence in the future. That's why we are actually like weakness of China. So anyone want to beat China will beat through Uyghur, through Taiwan, through Hong Kong, right? So you cannot say that Hong Kong people, they didn't oppress it during COVID. You cannot say that Taiwan, they are not threatening by China. The threat is real. Actually, yes, there is some people will stand up. They will use your cause to trying to manipulate your cause for their own interest. But it doesn't mean that your cause is fake, actually.
Right, that's important.
So, yeah. I'm not justifying that. Even I'm sometimes I will analyze my cause or like approach my cause from the political perspective. And I'm not justified to be used my cause by anyone or like any Muslim, even the Muslim country. So, I cannot say that, okay, today my cause is used by Muslim countries. That means my cause is good. So, I'm not like,
the cause is
measuring,
the cause.
Yeah, cause is the cause. I'm not measuring the... And genocide is genocide. Genocide is happening. It is like...
So you call it genocide. Explain that. Because, of course, some people will say, well, you know, we're not killing people in large numbers. The Chinese are not killing people in large numbers. Yeah.
Okay, actually, it is... genocide is a legal term. It is not a sloganistic term. Yeah. I'm not like saying calling it genocide because... I want to just drag attention more and more.
Right.
First of all, what is the genocide? So there is a genocide term that the people will use it to describe something, to drag attention. Sometimes it will be exaggeration, sometimes not exaggeration. But when we talk about genocide in the framework of the international law or international convention, sign it up all the countries to define what is the genocide. Is there is actually an international convention on preventing genocide. This convention framing out that there is five types of crimes. In the if any one of them happen, it will be a genocide.
Right, and does
Yes, one is a massive killing.
Yeah.
And demolishing a condition for a specific nation or specific ethnicity to live. So you are not killing, but you don't let them to live also. And there's one is forcibly adopting the children of one nation. So you will took all the children from that nation and then give it to others. There's also others like not killing, but you are damaging them physically, like very big damages. But all the five, the fundamental, the point of all of them, the similar point is, same point is if you are targeting a specific nation or specific ethnicity, that's the genocide.
Can I ask you a question about genocide? I mean, Israel, for example, has been quite quick to label, at least some Israeli ministers, this as a genocide. And again, some people will criticize the Uyghurs, unjustly, of course, but criticize them and say, look, if the Israelis are supporting the Uyghurs, then there must be some problem here.
Okay, so I can ask this question also at the same time. Okay, the China supporting Palestine, so Palestine is a problem.
That's true. Yeah, that's very good.
But I'm not asking this question. Do you know why? Because this question is very unethical. Because you should not measure like a tragedy of a people or a cause of a person, which is like legitimized cause or legitimized demand, by the one who's supporting, actually. Because today's world is not the world that you will support someone because of the point that your principal put. Like, you know, the Israel is not a country respecting human rights, right? And then he will respect my rights and not respecting Palestinian one. So when we return to my answer is, so this thing, from my perspective as Uyghur, I will say, okay, see, in the convention framing that, if this happened, it's a genocide. China massacred a lot of villages and China arrested a lot of people. There is no condition for us to live. And also there is birth control, which is sterilization. And also there is the children are taken away from the houses.
Yeah, explain that. I didn't ask you about that. And children
this is
are
like
taken away.
The children taken away is like that. So first of all, each children, when they are 4 or 5 years old, they will be sent to the kindergarten. And this is like normal assimilation process, which is like you will send your children. It's compulsory. And you cannot reject. So, and the Chinese people will raise them. This is a normal one, right? Okay, maybe you think, okay, it will return in the night. I will like to change something and do something. But can you imagine that your children will grow up with Chinese people and teachers Chinese, eat like the Chinese person, and there's only the Chinese principles or a lot of things to give in to him. And then even you are as parents, you are very afraid that if you teach someone something, your children in the night, it will say, okay, teacher, if you said that, but my mother didn't say that. I said, okay, you all be in the danger. This is the normal one, right? Second one is in the concentration camps, UN said, United Nations reports that 3 million. I will say, I estimate as my organization, we estimate it is 8 million. And even the China said itself, it is a report, it said in re-education camps, we educated 8 million people. It is a report published in 2019.
Right.
So 9 million people, let's say 5 million, even the 3 million. Okay, 3 million people, they got been arrested in concentration camps. They will stay there for 1 year. And there is a millions of people they arrested and sentenced in the jails. The concentration camps is something very separate in the jail, because the jail, they will arrest anyone they can prove they did something. Okay, for example, my father, he traveled to Turkey in 2016 with me, and he got arrested in 2017 in Ramadan after he already graduated from the concentration camps, and he stayed in the jail for 5 years until last year. Like, okay. There's a lot of people like my father. Let's estimate the people who are arrested, be optimistic, 5 million. So, okay, those 5 million people, even some of them are husband and wife. Some of them are like single mothers or single fathers. There will be like hundred thousands of like the children alone. The China will not give those children to the grandparents or other relatives. They will took them and put them in children's camp, because we call it children's camp because no one will can visit them and they cannot go out. What they call it? Angel's house. So in the angel's house, they will be tortured and they will be like only the Chinese teacher. They will raise you. Those children in 5, 6, 7 years old, they only know those Chinese people as someone who are feeding them, who are training them. This is the thing that the China are doing. Okay, this thing happened. As Uyghur, I will say, okay, as Uyghur, my analysis, like my legal evaluation, reaching that, it is genocide. And then we, in 2021, in London, we demanded from the independent legal experts to open a tribunal, Uyghur tribunal. They said, okay, I am Uyghur, but I want to say it is genocide. And I cannot bring up this issue to the International Criminal Court or UN, because the China has a very big influence on those institutions to like will cover up all things. And we demanded from that legal experts, independent ones, like they are all of them retired people. They worked on Rwanda genocide and other genocides. We asked them, they said, okay, they opened it a trial. And they even request from the Chinese government to send representative to say something. China rejected. And for 1 year of process, there's testimonies. A lot of testimonies even rejected by that court. They said, okay, this is testimony we cannot use because it's not qualified enough. They don't have proof. And it was like during the COVID, a lot of people couldn't come. They managed to do something to come, or like online remote witnessing. There's a lot of former Chinese policemen. They also give the witnesses. There's a lot of leaked data, reports, not only from the West or the East. It's a lot of like globally there's witnessing.
So where do we access this information? Because people ask me on social...
Actually, you can search like Uyghur Tribunal. They have the like website, official website. They will provide you all the proofs, like the evidence they use it for that court. At the end, the courts ruled out that, okay, this is the genocide. There is several type of crimes against humanity happening, but at the same time, there is like three or four types of genocide crimes also happening. And who is doing? Maybe it is only the doing by the governor of like Astrakhan, right? They said, no, it is like central government. There is like direct proof proving that actually central government is the one who are committing this genocide. Okay, that's why I'm saying that. Genocide, the term now, as Abdulrashid I'm using, is not a sloganist term. Actually, I'm using this terminology, as it is a legal term, backed by this court, Uyghur Tribunal. And after that, or during that time, there's some Western parliaments, including UK and the Netherlands, and they recognize it. What's happening in Astrakhan as genocide in Canada, in USA, and then there is some other acts like the Forced Labor Act and other act passed in US Congress. Yes, I will not exclude that the possibility is actually true that yes, there's really, really abuse and very exclusive national interests of political interests of those countries. Why they recognize genocide. But at the same time, the genocide is a terminology created by the West, right? It is actually something coming from the human rights, which is introduced by the West. So while we are playing a game with the Western institutions like UN, like EU, European Union, human rights councils of those organizations, so when we are talking with them or discussing with them or introducing what is happening in Turkestan, we will introduce them, okay, from the perspective, okay, from the language that they will understand. It's genocide. And that's why we need those parliaments, which is the institution of those that was, institution that recognize human rights, their fundamental principles, and then they will base that principle maybe there will be interests of their Zambia politically, but from that perspective, they can recognize, okay, this is the genocide. That's why we can easily divide that between political interests and the reality that we are, as Uyghurs, actually the suffering.
Barakalafi, I mean, one last question for you, Abdulrashid. So I think you've put forward a very compelling case today.
Yeah.
I hate to ask this question, but do you think that because China is so powerful and because the world has deserted the Uyghurs, at least the Muslim world has deserted the Uyghurs, that Islam is going to be erased, like Islam was erased in Spain, Islam will be erased in East Turkestan, and the Uyghurs will be so assimilated that the next generation, these children that have been adopted, in inverted commas, by Han Chinese, these children will become non-Muslims. Do you think this is now the certainty of our situation?
In Spain, Islam been erased in 600 years, right? And another one is, it's not the first time we got occupied and assimilated or like suffering from China as a Muslim or as the Turkic, the nation. We have 5,000 years of conflict with China. Even before the century or after the century, before the being Muslim, after the being Muslim. Sometimes hundreds of years we are under China, hundreds of years they are under us, to under our administration. So as a Uyghur with those historical memory or historical identity, I'm optimistic that the time, the oppression or anything from the perspective of time or length of 70 years, or from the perspective of the oppression or those things, it never changed your nature. At the same, you will remember or you will return your origin at end of the day, because my people and our identity, our culture, always, or that place always reminding us something at that time, and after a lot of things, and then you will return. I will give you example for that. Sometimes we forget some period of time. You are older than me, if we just read the history, there is a period that Islam as a knowledge or Islam as a religion was not that much understood or that much explained or that much reachable like today, just 70 years ago. Can you we can know that in Turkey, in Malaysia, I traveled a lot to Malaysia, in a lot of Arabic countries in the West, right? Just imagine in 1930s, the World War One, World War Two. After that, do you think all the people that they know the Islam like this? You know, the Hassan al-Banna in Egypt, right? He the one defeated secularism there and then introduced Islam again, right? There's a lot of movements in the Middle East, which is actually the origin of the region, the Islam separates the world, right? Turkey, a lot of people, they totally forget what is the Islam, what is the being Muslim. Actually today, we, alhamdulillah, we are really good Muslim and we know Islam very well. There is a lot of the contribution of the technology and a lot of things. But at the same time, it was effort of many, many people and a lot of the movements, and then actually the Islam revived, right? It survives. So when it comes to the East Turkestan, my country was under the war before the World War One, starting from the 1718s, we were with the war with the China, under the war with the China. My people were they sometimes separated into several small city states, sometimes they united, they fighting, resisting. like they remembering they are Muslim, but the Islamic knowledge or like understanding Islam or practicing Islam was sometimes like in the high, sometimes declining, but it become already part of the identity. I mean that after the occupation, we witnessed as Uyghur appreciates that China banned Islam totally for 10 years. All the imams arrested. All the Muslim scholars arrested. All the mosques made into other facilities to be used. Bars and like the hospitals and others. Like in 10 years, my grandmother always reminded me that. At that time, even we forgot how to be Muslim, like what is the halal, what is the haram. Some people, because they have very good Islamic education, they will remain like as very good practice Muslim in their like daily life. But social life already, the Islam like really removed from the life, the China like doing a lot of things. And after 1975, we have no books, Islamic books. Even the Quran is like hard to find. And a lot of thinkers, Muslim scholars, they got killed inside the jail. Few people actually from the previous time, they survived it and they started to teach Islam. And some of the Uyghurs, they said, okay, we were Muslim, but we should know what is the Islam really. And they traveled to Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Pakistan to learn Islam and come back to separate Islam from the beginning. Okay, today I'm Muslim because a scholar or someone who made the effort after 10 years of removing Islam ban,
yeah.
Totally like the people cannot access to Islamic knowledge. After that 10 years, he traveled around outside or he find the Islam again, came to teach my someone else. And he's like the just one by one, seriously, came to me. That's why, yes, the China will do something to remove Islam partially, or he will convince some people to be really non-Muslim. They will say, okay, Islam didn't help us. So for not be oppressed, let's be the Chinese. Okay, being Chinese is being like very proudly thing. And then some will, like even my brothers, like younger brothers, the cousins, they will not know what is Islam maybe, or they will know on like in the houses. I don't know. So, but this doesn't mean that Islam will be erased, because until now, the China cannot reject the one fact. What is the fact is that China still being forced to accept that the Uyghurs are the Muslims, right? So China, when the China talking about OIC, talking to OIC or talking to other Muslim countries, they said, okay, see, we have the Muslims. All the Xinjiang are the Muslim. And actually, do you want to visit the historic centers, the good mosques we would like you to visit? Actually, still the Islam is something that China cannot reject. That means like that name even will remain. So I believe that it will be like the revive again and the thing will be returned. But at the same time, it is not that I'm not afraid of Islam. But what I am afraid is some people will die non-Muslim. Some people will die without their rights. Some people will die tortured. Some women will die raped. Some like babies, they will die before they got born. And even like this kind of thing, and some people will die hopeless, the elderly. And some people will die in diaspora also. Like we are really, really devastated psychologically. This is something I'm afraid. I'm afraid of today, afraid of like individually, like specifically each like member of my community. And that's something that I am fighting for. For the Islam, like, I mean, I believe that with the effort, like it will revive and it will like remain something that it is like we have experienced it totally, removal of Islam and revival of Islam.
Brother Abdulrashid, I mean, it's really been a fascinating show. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our brothers and sisters in this region. Jazakallah khair. Please remember to subscribe to our social media and YouTube channels and head over to our website thinkingmuslim.com to sign up to my weekly newsletter. Jazakallah khair.